This is Mona Lisa Baseball. How many starts does Shohei have this year?
Yeah, for everyone listening, we have a bet. I said Shohei would start 10 or more.
That's correct.
Okay.
This season. And I used the wrong word, starts. I should have gone with innings.
You should have gone with innings.
God, it just never occurred to me.
Because I think he pitched like one inning.
It serves me right. I wasn't in touch with hardball enough to know that it's okay to start one inning.
Yeah.
The thing that we didn't get to see, which could have been even better, because everyone showers Shohei, maybe the greatest player ever. I shouldn't say everyone. He gets a lot.
Certainly the richest player ever.
A lot of people think he's the greatest ever. Here's what we got robbed of. We never got to see his team's advantage for having a far superior batting pitcher.
I know. Well, they made a new rule so that we could.
I know, but the advantage isn't the same because every team has at least average DH.
Right.
But
they should.
Not every team had a pitcher that could actually swing it.
Right.
So the discrepancy would have been so much larger. And I feel like we really got robbed of that.
Yeah.
Because that's what I never quite understood about Shohei being off the charts in WAR as a pitcher.
You can calculate WAR however you want. There's a couple standard ways to do it, and there's some deviations. But if you combine pitching and hitting together, his WAR was untouchable by anyone in history because, except for maybe Babe Ruth.
Right.
Because he was a much better than average pitcher and a much, much better than average hitter. And so he's going to make wins for your team.
You know, a few more than Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber. I wonder if he's the first non-pitcher to win MVP without a hit in the game.
Dude,
one would hope.
We don't have to look that up.
You'd have to be a center fielder and rob 20 home runs to get MVP without a hit. Are you kidding me?
Right. Right.
No, there's no way. Of course, that's unprecedented. Historic achievement by Kyle Schwarber.
He's so good, he doesn't even have to get hits in games to be the most valuable player.
Dude, just be good at batting practice. That's all you need now, kids.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I remember you had a questionable Juan Soto.
I don't even care about Juan Soto. Dude, Juan Soto sucks.
Okay.
Fuck Juan Soto.
Yeah, pass.
He didn't get selected to the All-Star game. Last couple of months, he's hitting like 200. He didn't get voted in by the fans. And when he was interviewed about it, and in his defense, dude, sports journalists are the worst. How does it feel not being selected for the All-Star team? And he's like,
I love the feeling.
Juan Soto totally fucked up and is like, yeah, it would have been a lot of money for me. By the way, it's 100K. I don't even know, but here's the thing. The dude's making hundreds of millions of dollars. His contract is off the charts. And this is chump change to him.
If my math's right in my head, I think that's less than what he gets paid for one game.
I mean, that's a big check from Rob for some players.
Oh.
Speaking of Rob, Rob told us all.
Go on.
Told us all that when ESPN dropped the deal.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, ESPN will not have baseball next year. No games at all. They decided not to re-up their contract. Rob told us when that happened, Don't worry. It's fine. We'll have a deal by the All-Star break. Guess what?
Tell me.
No deal. No deal, Rob.
No deal, Rob.
There's no deal. So
that kind of has the same ring as Game Over Gagne. No deal, Rob. Just keep saying it.
Oh, yeah. The day I yelled myself hoarse at Pac Bell Park, yelling Game Over Gagne so loud that I couldn't talk for 2 days.
Oh, that's one of the worst and best feelings the next day. It's when you can't talk because you know it was that good.
Yeah.
But you can't talk in society.
That story is really about personal confidence because I was there with my dad and my little brother and my girlfriend at the time. And they're not huge baseball people, but I'm very passionate, very loud. I mean, look, we have a podcast about baseball. You know, I care about these things. And I remember they all kind of made me feel bad for doing that. Driving home, they're like, you know, you didn't need to yell so loud. And I remember thinking, oh, maybe they're right. But now, looking back after all these years, I'm like, fuck, I should have yelled louder.
It's historical.
Because I know he heard me. And then,
see, that's the best.
There were guys behind me yelling it, too. That's one of the reasons why people, like, you know, you kind of started a thing. I'm like, yeah, like, what's, that's awesome.
It is awesome.
You know, they're like, oh, don't draw attention, you know, like, whatever. I bought the seats, Dad.
It had to happen. I mean, Gagne was going to get knocked off his pedestal at some point. I mean, I don't know about his involvement in the Mitchell report, but I have a strong sense he's roid central, and he was going to get knocked off at some point.
He's a hat size guy. I think if we go look at his hat size, you could see.
Hat size guy for sure. It's a big head.
Yeah.
It's a very big head.
He started off a lot skinnier than he finished.
I think you helped him knock him off his pedestal.
Well, I know he heard it.
It's one of the great things about being a fan in person is when you know they heard you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just tell a quick one because it was fun for me. Went to a Warrior game a long time ago back at Oracle in Oakland. And we were there pretty early, so we're like, ooh, let's sneak down there and we can get really close to the court. And it was right by the Warrior bench. And I saw Mike Dunleavy sitting on the bench. Now, when Dunleavy got drafted by the Warriors, I was really disappointed. I didn't think he would turn out that good. And when he played for the Warriors, I really tried. I wanted to be a fan of his, but he just wasn't good enough. That's what I was seeing.
He was disappointing.
He was disappointing. He ended up having a decent career, probably a much better one than I ever would have guessed. Once he left the Warriors. But there he is on the bench as a Warrior. And it just gets into my mind, I need to shake this guy up. He's not doing it. He's not living up to it. So I start going with a Dunleavy, Dunleavy. And we're talking maybe 25 feet.
Okay.
And it's pregame. So it's not like there's a lot of noise in the building. I can 100% guarantee you he heard me.
You have a voice that carries.
So I started yelling, Dunleavy. You need to get pissed. You need to bick your head and get pissed. And he never looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
But the security guard who was tolerant of whatever I was saying in the beginning, by the end, he was like, all right, that's enough. You've given him the business. It's time to move on.
Right.
And within a week, the Warriors traded him.
Oh, no. I thought you told me he was going to go off for like 25 that night.
No. There was something about it to me, which was, he's going to remember that the fans weren't having what he was giving us. Like, you're not giving us enough. Do more. Bick your head. Do something that I could cheer for you about. And then he was shipped off. And I remember reading that he wasn't upset to leave the Warriors because the team gave him no reason to respect him anyway.
Oh, please.
Which, this is back in the Cohen days, the worst owner.
Right.
And so he was probably right. But anyway.
Have you heard about what they're saying about Giants fans now?
No.
A bunch of players, talkers, are talking about how the worst fans in baseball are Giants fans in San Francisco.
Okay. Any good reasons?
I've heard it now from multiple sources.
Why are they saying this?
Because of dudes like me who yell shit at the opposing pitcher.
The opposing pitcher?
I don't know. Because when I saw it, I'm like, yeah, what is this? Come on now. Nah. It's not us, right? It's got to be Philly. It's got to be New York, right? It's got to be Milwaukee or something, right? Like, it can't be us.
Oh, so like the worst fans, like mean.
The meanest, angriest fan.
Fans are Giants?
Yeah.
That just doesn't seem right.
I mean, I know we got a couple of guys out in the outfield who are good at doing chants, but those guys are super lighthearted. They're like,
yeah.
Just like, he's a bum stuff. And it's always funny, too. It's not even like, oh, we did have that guy throw the ball in play recently.
Yeah.
Didn't we have a guy jump on the field? We've had some bad behavior, I'm not going to lie. But to be labeled as the worst fans in the league, that really...
That's pretty surprising to me.
I did a double take on that.
Yeah, totally.
Also, if that is true, then I will take some responsibility. I am ruthless when I'm in the late innings and I'm yelling at the opposing team's relief pitchers. I'm very... very mean.
Well, thank you. I think that's part of baseball.
It should be.
It is for me.
What if I get in his head just 1%?
It's one of the things that you don't know why it's fun, why it feels good, but it's within that umbrella of going out to the ballpark, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm afraid of losing once robots come in too much, is just not into all the surrounding energy around you. You're kind of more following along, but participation is important.
Yeah. It's like, you got to be in the moment. But I think these days, a lot of people are like, well, this moment's great, but maybe the moment would be better on TikTok right now.
Yes.
Or maybe I should remember this moment and take a picture, or tell my friend about how good it is.
Maybe I should say it. And if you record me say it, then I can post it.
Yeah. I mean, there's people who post cynically for money. And then there's the majority of us who are just trying to record our lives for our friends and family.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what we have lost. Besides people paying attention to the game.
And besides chocolate malts.
Chocolate malts. being able to yell at the umpire. We've now, once again, in my opinion, this is my opinion, we've now lost the ability to look at any action in the game and not know that it wasn't somebody throwing the game on purpose. That's where we're at with me, based on what's going on with some of these bets. And
yeah,
we have a suspension. We have a pitcher who got suspended because there were very very suspicious
first pitch of the game
bets. These are stupid f-ing bets, okay?
Yep.
Stupid bets where you're like, I bet the first pitch of the second inning is going to be a strike or a ball. If you're betting that shit, you're the problem. I'm sorry. I know people listen to the show are into this shit, but it's like,
you're right.
Dude,
that's not a bet.
This is the worst kind of betting that you could possibly have, because guess what? We had a pitcher who just was throwing balls, you know, all the way to third base, and he's suspended, and he's going to get a life suspension almost certainly.
Yep.
And what the fuck? The first pitch of an inning? Like, get out of here. Get out of here with this shit. Betting on little shit like that? Like, what did you think was going to happen? It takes me 200 milliseconds to be like, some pitcher's going to feel like he can get away with it.
Yeah.
Some guy with like a 4+ ERA who's like starter on a bad team. That's exactly who he was.
Yep. I think you're 100% accurate. That is the problem. It's like the equivalent of betting on a coin flip.
Yeah. So now if like a wild pitch, I have to think to myself, oh, is that the first pitch of the inning? Oh, is there a prop bet on that? What's the line? It's like, I don't want to think about any of that.
It's invaded. Yeah, it invaded your brain. I'm sorry.
The White Sox scandal already ruined baseball once, and
yep.
I'm angry about this. Because this does ruin baseball for me. I don't want to sit there on every action in the game wondering, is there money on the line?
Yeah.
Because those are dumbass bets. Just f-ing stupid bets. But we're not sponsored by DraftKings. But guess what? Almost every other show out there is. And they're all out there going,
oh, yeah,
running interference. And it's like, this pisses me off almost more. And they're like, oh, this is going to happen. It's fine. This is just going to happen. We're going to catch most of them. Don't worry about it. Well, guess what? I'm f-ing worried about it. It's not okay. This is not okay for me. I mean, okay, he got caught. Who hasn't got caught yet? How many people out there did it once and didn't get caught? He did it twice. That's why he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to double dip.
Double dip, yep.
In the same season. Yeah, oops. However much money him and his buddy made off that bet, I mean, dude, his major league salary is going to... you fucked up. Big time. That's sad right there. It's sad to me that this guy is out of baseball forever.
Yeah, like, how's he turned that one around?
You don't.
Yeah.
You just go be a coach, I guess, in, like, in another country or something. And even then, it's like, there's going to be a stigma on you.
It seems like... the radio people, even Dan Patrick says he used to be into sports betting and then he had to cut himself off. So for years, he's never laid a bet, yet he has a gambling podcast.
No.
And it's almost as if they want to be part of the whole system of sports and media and money.
They want the money.
And they've recognized how much of an ingredient the money is.
Yeah.
And not only the money, but people that will watch because they have money on the game. So they've become fans because of the money. Now, even if they're winning or not.
Right.
And so they can't ignore the role that gambling is having in the breadth and size of sports. And so they are down. And I'm sickened by it.
Yeah, I'm sick too. This is not fake outrage. Like, it really bothers me. It makes me less likely to watch a game. Probably me more than other people.
Yeah.
But it's just one more reason where it's like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something else instead of watch that game.
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of reasons not to watch right now. It's a little crazy. There are times where I hear about Giants stuff and I just can't even fathom caring what the Giants do. Just can't even fathom it.
Really? I'd like to dig deeper into that.
Yeah.
Is your life so busy that reading a box score is like, no. I don't even have time for that. Even when you're taking a shit in the morning, you're on the toilet. Even then, looking at a box score is just a waste of your time.
Well, first of all, I'm never going to have a newspaper because that doesn't exist.
No, you do it on your phone, bro.
And I've probably taken my phone into the bathroom probably less than 5 times in my life.
Interesting.
And so I like newspapers. I like reading them. I grew up with them. Grew up with the subscription, got used to the daily part of it. It was a major, major part in me getting to know who the best players were, reading the daily box scores. I would still do it, I think.
Yeah, you just do it on your phone. I mean, that's how I do it.
I just never think of what the Giants are doing. And that is so far from where I was at.
Yeah, when you were a kid. Yeah.
Well, not just when I was a kid.
Even when you were a young adult, when I knew you, like when you're still living in Santa Cruz.
Young adult, yeah.
Yeah.
I would always have some interest.
Right.
But I think one of the hardest parts for me has just been that guys switch teams every year. And that really drew back for me where, like, we knew Robbie Thompson, man. Like, we knew our guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were there for years. And then just, I don't know, the switching around, it just gave me the, why should I care? Why should I care?
Right. So what you're talking about is players moving around teams, what seems to be much more frequently than they used to.
I'm starting to wonder about Marvin Miller and what he did for the all the players in the 70s and that he's made them so much money from those decisions. But I'm so much more interested in trading. Because it goes back to the baseball card roots. Like, can I really give up this Will Clark for a Ken Griffey Jr. that's on the rise? Like, oh, man. You have to really think about it, what you're giving up to get something. But now it's just like, oh, we have a fat enough checkbook for that. Yep, sign him.
Yeah. Well, it's all analytics. It's like this much money gets us this much war.
Yeah.
And like Will Clark, we think we can get more war out of Mark Portugal with that money. And then they would do all the math and show you like, see, got it.
Do you think Will Clark's as angry as it seems like he is through his like media portrayal?
Oh, he's getting clipped up all over the place on his show. Isn't that what Will Clark fans want? Don't we want
probably
him to get into a dust up with some fucking jabronis from Boston?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Probably.
So thanks, Will, for giving us what we want. I just love that he claims Giants after all this time. It's like,
yeah,
he comes on the show wearing Giants hats. He talks about the Giants a whole lot more than he talks about the Texas Rangers, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't know where else he was after that.
I wonder where he lives. I know he had a stint with the Orioles. I don't remember how long it was.
I thought he moved to Texas and was like a batting coach for kids.
Yeah.
Probably moved on from that. But yeah, he seems pissed and it seems genuine. Who's his co-host? What's that guy's name?
Oh, that's Burns.
He's really good at riling people up. He's a really, that guy might be on drugs, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's a high energy guy. So I think like,
if, yes, he is.
If you had Will Clark with like anyone else, I don't think you get the same energy out of
right.
The thrill wouldn't be so thrilled.
Yeah. They're good together that way.
Yeah.
Do you want to go any further into your like actually caring what the Giants did?
We've established that you don't read box scores on your phone.
Right.
Or anywhere for that matter.
Right.
And I think that surprises a lot of people because my question to you, it's the same question, is like, are you that fucking busy? Like you literally are just packing your entire day with other stuff where it's just like, or maybe it's not packed with stuff. You're just like, dude, I need time for reflection. Like in the mornings, I just want to sit and meditate. Or maybe you're working so hard, you don't have time. I don't know. What is it?
Yeah, I think there's literally just not a speck of actual interest. I don't get the rise that I got being 14, eating cereal, reading the box scores.
Like, never be as great as it was when you were young.
I'm not trying to say it should be, but if you talk to baseball people that lived it from childhood up to 70, there's plenty of people you talk to that have never been more excited about baseball in general. And for the most part, I've stayed amazingly enthusiastic about the sport. But it's the sport. It's not what's happening in Major League Baseball.
Right. You're reading books about the history of baseball.
I love reading things that people wrote decades ago. So they were writing it contemporarily as it was happening. But then 50 years later, I get to reflect on how they felt about, I don't know about this Astrodome. Like, seems a little weird. But it's a bunch of people that thought it'd be more fun to leave their living room, but they're still in a large living room watching baseball. I love those perspectives because it reminds me of what it is that we're doing. But I can tell you that when the Giants get Devers, someone that I've never heard of, there's nothing in me that's going like, okay, what's this going to mean for the team?
Yeah.
He's going to be gone next year and it wouldn't surprise me. I didn't know him before and now I don't know him later. And like, what is that thing that's supposed to make me excited about him? Why am I supposed to be so adamant about this team that is only doing everything for the money.
Yeah.
I don't ever get the feeling it's like the Giants are good for baseball. This is good. These are the good guys.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's a very hard thing for me to describe, but before all the rule changes came to be and baseball was as it was and like 2007 rolls around, I might have been more busy than checking in with box scores and checking in with baseball. But the love in my heart for it didn't diminish at all. I was just doing other things. And I bet on it always being that way. Like baseball would always be there for me is how I always felt. And if I just so happened on a summer day to be at a Little League field, I'd be like, oh, that's beautiful. I'm going to step onto the field. I'm going to walk off how far it is to center field fence. And there's like this intrigue in the sport, the field, that has never gone away. And one of the reasons why Major League Baseball just kind of stays in that spot of hope, I guess, is you have the best players in the world. So that's what it's always had going for it. Yeah. So something could always surprise you. I remember not really paying that close attention, but I just so happened to have a pumpkin carving party in late October, and there was a World Series game on, and I was thinking, oh, this is perfect. We're going to lay out our newspapers. We're going to carve some pumpkins. We're going to watch the World Series. I didn't pay attention for shit that whole year. I was so happy to be watching the World Series in that moment because it's that time of year. We're carving pumpkins. The air is getting cooler, all that stuff. And it just so happens it's regarded as one of the great World Series game in baseball history. I got to watch it live. I got to toy with the remote, turn it up in volume after each batter. I remember declaring to the room, when the next batter gets on, I'm turning the volume up 3 clicks. And that's going to happen until this game ends. Mm-hmm. And it just like the volume just kept going higher, higher, higher. They kept getting hits. That proved to me how amazing baseball is I couldn't give a shit the whole year. But when I got to watch that, I couldn't have been more excited about it. Now, I understand that's the feeling of a fan. And when the people that are in charge of baseball hear that, they go, why do I give a shit about a kid that doesn't watch all year, doesn't buy a hat, doesn't buy a jersey, doesn't buy a ticket, and he just so happens to tune into Fox for 3 hours, and now I'm supposed to keep the rules for that guy? Hell no. It wouldn't make any sense. As a business. I don't think of baseball as a business. I think of it as an art form. One of the truly great games that's ever been invented. What is chess doing? What is chess doing right now that is just getting it on the fucking map?
Oh, yeah.
We need people watching it.
Oh, they have light up chess boards now.
Exactly. So I just always assumed baseball would be there for me. It never changed in my lifetime and it never would. And that's not what I'm living now. And I stay in touch with this all the time. I really try to be real about it. Am I not tuning in to make a point? And I think there are occasions that I am because I feel like it's an actual waste of my time because they're going to disappoint me. But there were two things in season one I said that would stamp my head out of the game permanently. One's happened, one hasn't. First one was National League goes DH. I'm fucking out. And that has proved to be very true. I can't feel the same way about guys that don't play defense. If you want to bat, you got to play defense. I just can't see it any other way. And I actually have less interest in the game because of that.
Yep.
And number two, right around the corner, it's ABS.
Yeah.
Or robot umps is what I was calling it.
Right.
I'm out when either of those things happen.
And you're out.
And I kind of am.
You're out.
But that doesn't mean I can't love it as much as I ever have without buying jerseys. And that's, I guess, the hard thing for most people to understand is I've been let down to a degree that is actually painful, but I have to be okay with it. Like watching and hearing people talk about how great this new All-Star game is, I just kind of shrug and I go, if this is what you want, in my mind, I know the best version. We're getting pretty far from it, but you're getting what you asked for. You wanted thrills. You wanted cheap thrills. You're getting them. So we'll see where that takes you.
Yeah. So to draw a contrast to you, I just find myself at least once a week looking up the standings. That's the bare minimum.
But you also do live in the city.
I go to games. I live in San Francisco.
You live in the city where they play.
I go to a couple games or more every year.
Right.
If the Giants make a huge deal, I'm going to have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Even though I don't want to. Like the Devers trade, I'm like, I don't know. I think we gave up too much. Maybe we'll see. I'm skeptical whenever you have these trades where it's like one guy for like six guys.
Yeah.
Five guys, whatever. Four guys. I don't know. Five guys, I think. It's like, wow. Those are five guys. One of them's going to be great one day. Mm-hmm. Is Devers going to turn our season around? Answer, no. We've been losing games. We've lost more than we won since we made the deal. I got the long view. I don't, you know, like the Devers deal could be the best deal ever. We don't know yet.
Right.
But I care about what's going on with the Giants, even though I care way, way, way less than I used to. Mm-hmm. I still care. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine going a full season without going to at least one game. That would be, I don't know, that'd be like going through life without having sex or eating chocolate.
Right.
I got to get some baseball in there every once in a while.
Yeah.
I got to eat the Doritos every once in a while, you know? Like,
yeah. And I kind of got my fix through the Little League experiment. I got to be on a baseball field more than I have probably since I was 18. And going to practice, going to games, first base coach. I kind of got my own fix through that way. And did I ever tell you about the kid?
Tell me.
I only got to see him once. So he's in the first base dugout. And I was catching because we had maybe seven players that game. So I had to catch. Yes, that's right. A Little League game where the coach is catching. Never did that one time in my entire Little League career. But that's how this year went.
In the squat.
In the squat.
Oh, were you on your knees though?
I did that a little bit. I tried to go with the squat. So I look right and I see this slugger walking up and he's like chewing his gum where the jaw is kind of going like side to side almost.
Has he got the eye black on?
Like almost chewing in a circle. He's got the eye black.
He's got the sliding glove in his back pocket.
He's got his bat in his right hand and he's doing like loops, flips with it.
Yeah. Loosening up the shoulder.
I'm going, okay.
This is a 9-year-old, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. he's probably more likely eight.
Okay. 8 years old.
And I'm watching him walk up and I go, all right, let's see what this kid's got. Like, he's got
his mom's playing his walk-up song with the boombox in the stands.
Oh, he's got the mojo. He's got the mojo walking up.
I love it.
And he's also one of those kids that's a little bit bigger than the other ones.
Sure.
So I'm thinking he could put a hurt on the ball. The entire thing, all of it was show. He had no skills.
Yeah, he struck out.
He didn't only strike out. There was zero chance he could touch the ball.
Oh, no.
He couldn't swing. He had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
But he'd mastered everything else.
Yeah, the walk up.
Oh, eye black.
Warm
up. Imagine wearing eye black as an 8-year-old.
Kissing the chain.
Chains. Chains were on there.
Let's go.
He might have done a point to the sky.
Yeah.
It was.
God damn it, dude.
It was remarkable how dialed he was.
You're killing me.
And how shitty of a ball player he was.
You're fucking killing me, dude.
As an 8-year-old. Like, you expect something with that kind of demonstrative.
How did we get here?
Yeah.
When, you know what? You know how we got here? Because men like us, we're no longer allowed to just yell at kids and tell them that they're fucking stupid anymore.
Yeah.
They'll call the cops.
I think that's true. I think that's really true, actually.
Some mom's going to clutch her pearls and be like, you can't say that to my baby.
Yeah.
It's like, well, he's going to be a baby forever if he doesn't hear it.
Yeah. That's a harsh reality of where we live now. That's just how it is. I mean, yeah, the idea is, did this kid teach himself? Did someone?
He's watching MLB. And that's what they focus on. They focus on all that shit. That's why,
yeah.
That's why it's so hard for us to watch games on TV now, because even the play-by-play gets superseded by them talking about like some showy bullshit. Dude, I don't know what happened. The play-by-play guy is now just the second color guy. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you can see what happened, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I still want you to call it for me. I don't know. That's just a huge part of the baseball experience for me, being a guy who used to listen to 162 on the radio way back in the day.
Yep.
Like, without a good announcer, it doesn't feel like baseball. So, I mean, dude, even my dad, he used to come and listen to the radio while we were at the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever done that.
I haven't done it, but I always admire the people that do.
I did it once or twice. And I think the only reason I stopped doing it was I want people to be able to talk to me while I'm at the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I really, really despise the camera being next to third base as someone's rounding the bases on a home run and they follow him to the plate.
Yeah.
I really don't like that. And how often can you actually watch someone step on home plate and not point to the sky? Do we all have to do that?
The coolest possible thing you can do when you hit just a routine like home run, like third inning, put your team up by one, the coolest motherfucking thing you can do is just run the bases quick, go back, get in the fucking dugout, give a couple high fives. Don't make a big deal about it. Like,
I know.
The thing is that TV needs that.
Yeah.
And not only do they need it, you know they want it so bad, because when you actually watch the TV show, they're always running back highlights. They'll run that highlight of him doing the low five, fist bump, muscles. They'll show it seven times between every commercial break. It's this short attention span TV thing. I mean, I feel like watching a game on TV is almost like a complete other experience. It's not anything like being there at the game.
Yeah.
It might as well be two different sports.
Yeah, and I guess to be honest, since I was a young boy, I've always had a hard time watching a whole game on TV unless the stakes were high. And I didn't ever look at that as I must not be a good fan. It's kind of like, do I need to see every pitch?
Right.
But I feel like I would get a lot from box scores the next day.
Yeah.
Or like you, the radio, where you can do other things. But like if you're watching a baseball game, you're kind of supposed to see every pitch pretty much.
Do you remember the midnight replay on KNBR?
I do a little bit. Yeah. I don't think I got too involved.
Yeah. So if I would miss a game or something, or maybe, you know, yeah. I got half of it. You always had the midnight replay, dude. And then box score. So that was the order of operations. Like,
yeah,
either you watch the game in person, you watch it on TV, you listen to it on the radio, or you listen to the midnight replay. Then you go to box score. And then if you don't get a paper the next day, you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You have to actually watch the next game and hope they talk about it.
Yeah. God, that's Stone Age stuff.
And they would talk about it. They would totally tell you what happened in the previous game when every guy came up. Two hits of the previous game, they would tell you.
Yeah.
It was perfect to me. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, when you're a kid, everything's new and it slows down time and everything new is exciting. And especially when it's almost perfect like baseball, like this game has been perfected. I mean, you're right. Like Mona Lisa baseball, the thesis is correct.
Well, it's just an eyebrow lift, though. Like, what is the big deal? I don't want to have lines on the sides of my mouth. I'm just getting rid of those. It's more beautiful to not have lines. What's the problem? I mean, I've always known my nose wasn't all that exciting, so I'm just narrowing it. It's my decision.
You know how you look at those pictures of like Hollywood celebrities, like the rare ones that just get too much plastic surgery and then they get really old and it all starts to fall apart and get lopsided and stuff?
Rough. That is rough.
Yeah, it's rough. And that will be baseball if they continue on this path.
I saw a picture of Pamela Anderson recently and it finally hit me where I...
Scary.
Where I thought, oh, shit. If I saw her in person, I would have a hard time believing she was ever a beautiful woman. And I thought, wow, that's what women are up against. Like,
yeah.
You could be as big as Pamela Anderson, but when you reach a certain age...
She's one of those people who I think got too much plastic surgery. I mean, I've never had any and I never will. I don't even have a tattoo, right? You're very similar. You know, like if you saw a picture of you 10, 20, 30 years ago, like you would see the natural progression and be like, yeah, that's that guy.
Yeah.
There will be no point in between those years where it's like, holy fuck, what happened?
Yeah. Right.
Right. Same with me. Same with A4. I don't know about A3. I haven't known him long enough.
Yeah. That's funny. He was skinny.
I don't think A3's had any cosmetic work done.
No, he was a skinny. I've always been a skinny guy. He was, I want to say, even quite a bit skinnier than me.
Yeah. You're a slender man.
Gangly. Like a really gangly teenager.
Baseball player.
Yeah. He turned into a full man. I never really got there.
It's a fine line of like fucking with your appearance that way, you know?
Her face doesn't have that look.
They get these implants and then they start to slip over time. It's absolutely frightening.
Oh, it is.
It's just frightening. And that is exactly how I feel about the universal DH, exactly how I feel about a swing off. Oh man, it's not going to age well, but the TV is going to love it, man. They're going to love it. It's the best thing ever because it'll make the games even more predictable.
Yep.
Even more predictable because that swing off can only go so long and more people will watch it because it's so dramatic. It's like Final Jeopardy.
Right. Yeah. You're going to walk out at Final Jeopardy.
you're out.
I love those perspectives.
He's a hat size guy.
These are the good guys.
Don't worry.
Yo, he's got the mojo. He's got the mojo walking up. And then he was shipped off.
I'm angry about this.
I don't think we're going to end on a higher note than that.